Madam Deputy Speaker. Prior to my election to Parliament, as a consultant psychiatrist with a PhD in decision-making capacity, under Section 9(3)(b) of this bill, I would have met both criteria to be a medical expert assessor. So I've got a particular perspective as someone who, in different circumstances, might have been called on to do these assessments. I strongly believe that we should respect and support the right for bodily autonomy in people with full decision-making capacity, subject to the caveat that this does not cause serious harm to others. I argued for this when I was on the working group of the Independent Review of the Mental Health Act and on the Pre-Legislative Scrutiny Committee for the new bill, legislation which, amongst other things, aims to prevent people from coming to harm when suffering from severe mental illness. These reforms were debated in the House of Lords this week and demonstrate how Parliament should legislate in complex areas that balance individual autonomy and risk. In contrast, as a private member's bill, there is limited ability for scrutiny of this bill's provisions. It has had no independent review, no pre-legislative scrutiny, and no impact assessments. Many MPs support the principle of assisted dying but have concerns over implementation, resource implications, and safeguarding, which is why I, along with other colleagues on both sides of the House, tabled a reasoned amendment to this bill calling for an independent review and consultation before voting Parliament to provide a third way through. And I'd like to thank the members supporting the amendment, particularly the members of Shipley and Twickenham, for their work and extensive and careful consideration of this area. While the general debate on assisted dying may focus largely on the principles, legislation must address the limits to and safeguards on consent. Should people be able to agree to a medically assisted death? If so, what, if any, restrictions should there be on people who can make this decision? Age, capacity, terminal illness, intolerable suffering. And then, what safeguards are there to uphold these limits and prevent abuse? Assessments by two doctors, judicial scrutiny. Given that the main argument I see in favour of assisted dying is the exercise of personal autonomy, I believe the most substantive issues we need to wrestle with are the limits that we set to it. Why is this bill limited to the terminally ill and not those suffering but not terminal? What even comes within the scope of terminal illness, as with the refusal of treatment and medication, conditions such as type 1 diabetes and HIV can be designated as terminal despite being fully treatable? There are many questions, but in this bill, the most prominent problem is that, in a legal context, if the availability of assisted dying is limited to only those who are terminally ill, it is discriminatory to either those with or without terminal illness. Either their right to autonomy is greater than others, or the values of their life is worth less. We must also ask if autonomy can autonomy be exercised where there is no choice? If good palliative care is simply not available, can we really rely on this as a true and free decision? I would argue we can't, and this bill does not safeguard against coercion through state neglect. But unfortunately it will impact another member speaking, so apologies. Perhaps fundamentally, for me, given my interest in capacity, is that we have not considered how much human decision-making is driven by altruistic intentions. I did it for my children is rightly a primary motivation for many in many settings. But as a society, are we comfortable with a decision to seek a medically assisted death to not be a burden to one's family or to save them money? This won't impact capacity. We can't pretend that capacity assessments are going to be a shield for these moral concerns. Where is the line, if there is one, between indirect coercion and the natural human responses in a stressed family unit looking after a sick loved one? Now, I believe legislation on assisted dying could be brought in that has fully reviewed and addressed these issues. But parliamentarians must deal with what we have in front of us today. Proponents on both sides of the debate frame this vote of second reading as a vote on the principle of assisted dying. But in reality, it is a vote on the implementation as put forward in this bill. As a former mental health doctor, I'm most proud that I was there for the most vulnerable. And today I think about those without a voice in this debate or in the TV studios. I think about the elderly woman in the care home with mild cognitive impairment, retained capacity, but nevertheless vulnerable to coercion and undue influence. Or the sick mother whose child may lose their job or relationship due to the burden of caring responsibilities. This bill doesn't protect them. It risks placing implicit pressure on people already vulnerable at a time of life they should be receiving our unwavering care and support. We should and must vote it down. Yeah.